Good morning. 640 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Joining us as he does every Friday during session, we've got Alex Andrade, State Representative for District 2. That's the southern half of Escambia County and all of the waterfront in both counties. Alex, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, good morning, Kenny. Good morning, Andrew. I appreciate you guys having me.
I guess I said all the waterfront's not quite right. It's the beach waterfront, the southern waterfront, not the obviously up by Milton and that kind of an area. Anyway, lots of stuff to talk about. Before we get to session, just because you're an attorney, you're a state representative, you're aware of current events, I did want to ask you just like your opinion. President Trump obviously has been indicted in New York, and his attorneys apparently were he's going to surrender for the indictment of the arraignment on Tuesday. But Governor DeSantis has come out and said that, look, we're not going to participate in extradition here. This is ridiculous. What would happen if, former President Trump decided not to go to New York and DeSantis said, we're not going to help? What would happen?
Well, I mean, you essentially have somebody with an active warrant who's incredibly famous, right? So I never see that dynamic happening because I think it would put a lot of people at risk. You have the state of New York, the city of New York. They will not want to look, impotent in not being able to execute on that warrant. Obviously you have, President Trump, who probably would like in the future to be able to go to New York without fear of having a warrant served on him at any minute, So I think it'll be handled professionally. I don't think anybody wants the imagery of like a standoff anywhere or something like that. So I think it'll just be kind of handled. And
I figure the same thing. It's just kind of my brain always wonders the what if, what if this actually got followed through on? A lot of stuff.
No law enforcement officers.
Go ahead.
Could come to Florida. No law enforcement officers could come to Florida. But I think there could become like a federal issue. I think the state of New York could probably try and sue the state of Florida in federal court or something, but I'm not 100% sure on what the basis would be. States do their authority generally ends at their line,
right?
At their jurisdiction.
Hey, not the same question in any way, but just because this has also, of course, been in the news. We know this horrible massacre, murders that took place in Nashville. And in the wake of that, Senator Rick Scott has proposed a bill that would mandate and fund an armed, either an SRO or a trained security officer that would be armed at every school in America. That part makes perfect sense to me. The interesting wrinkle on that is at all private schools as well, because, of course, this is a private school. And when it comes to mandating for private schools, my understanding is that in Florida, it's only public schools that are required and not private schools. I don't know about charters, frankly. But if a school had a religious character to it and objected, you might run into, of course, religious imposition questions. Is the legislature, have they considered taking up the question of mandating armed guards at also private schools here in Florida?
Not private schools. I can answer so charter schools are required to. Charter schools
they are, okay.
Are essentially government schools. But for the private schools, the issue you're going to have is like unintended consequences. Not all private schools look the same. And you can go down the line and you're going to have some private schools in air quotes that are so small that essentially, their issue would have to be like, well, none of our staff want to be guardians, so we have to pay a police officer, a school resource officer, and we can't afford it.
Well, you can make it a size minimum, right? You could say, like, above 30 students. I mean, just theoretically, but that makes sense, too. Okay, go ahead.
But it's not a bad idea. But at the same time, unintended consequences. The Marjorie Stoneman Douglas Act said that no one could carry a firearm on, like, a school ground. And that meant the churches couldn't have their own private security, like their own kind of security teams for a long time until Representative Williamson and I worked on a bill a few years ago to try and pull that one back.
Right.
So that at least allowed for churches to have their own private security teams. And private schools can do it right now. They have full authority to do it right now. The difference between private schools and public schools is that, public schools can give that authority. And they also depend on direct funding from the state. So we, had to provide that authority, provide that plan for a guardian or an SRO, and also provide some funding for it in categorical.
Yeah, and I start to feel reluctant about almost imposing any requirements on private schools, especially if they're religious private schools. So I see those kind of concerns as well. That's all very fair. Alex, we're talking to Alex Andrade, State Representative for District 2. Alex, hang on for just a second. Let's get Candy here with traffic on the fives.
And not showing any slowdowns or delays at this time. Certainly, if you have a traffic tip, text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. The legislature, Alex, sent off to Governor DeSantis to sign the bill that would allow for concealed carry without a permit, as long as you are eligible under the same criteria as it would be to get a permit. But he was asked yesterday at an event whether he would call a special session to look for a genuine open carry where you would have no permit and you'd be able to carry, for example, in a holster on your hip or something like that. He said yes if he can get the votes. Do you anticipate that happening after session this year?
I have no idea. Open carry is something that, it's something I would support. Whether or not the rest of the legislature would is not something I've taken a poll on. I'd be perfectly fine with open carry. It would be my preferred option, but I've never polled it, so I have no idea.
All right, fair enough. And I forget where we are on the death penalty changes. They're about to be ratified and sent to the governor, or they have been sent. I can't remember. So you tell me. But also, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, the death penalty changes are being taken up in the House Judiciary Committee today on the House side.
So, okay, so we're not there yet on the House side. Got it. I have concerns about this bill because number one, I tend to agree with Senator Pizzo, who said that he doesn't like the idea of writing legislation so quickly to change after one incident, obviously the trial of Nicholas Cruz. But sometimes you change law to adapt to a problem in the system. It just seems like 8 is too low. Like 10 makes sense to me, but when you have 3 jurors who don't want to recommend the death penalty, it's hard for me to find a case where I would say, no, we shouldn't care about the votes of 3 jurors and make it just 8. What do you think?
I have a personal, a personal aversion to the death penalty. It has no deterrent effect. It costs state attorneys hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars every year because the due process requirements are so high. And you still run the risk of killing an innocent person. I'm not saying any state attorney should ever not enforce the death penalty. That is the law. They should enforce the law. That is their job. It's the legislature's job to take up the law and try and change it, and the Supreme Court's to interpret the Constitution. But I don't see the value in the death penalty anymore just because the due process protections are so high. It costs millions of dollars to deal with these appeals. You have so many investigators who have to talk to literally almost every single person that defendants ever interacted with in their entire life to meet those due process requirements to protect that person. Who could potentially be innocent, identify mitigating factors about why the person shouldn't be subjected to the death penalty. It's just such a high cost, high intensive issue. And again, you run the risk of potentially killing an innocent person. Life in prison is a far worse punishment. Life in prison is also, a less expensive, it takes less resources to house someone for life in prison who's done an egregious act.
So are you a no on the changes?
No, simply because the option to do away with the death penalty and have that debate is not the option. The option is what's the right policy on the death penalty if the death penalty is going to stay in law in Florida. I don't have an extremely strong opinion. I haven't reviewed the bills yet. So I will when they get to the House floor.
Gotcha.
But I tend to agree with your analysis, right? You ultimately want to look at what is the right number of jurors of the panel of 12 that you need to feel comfortable that that jury got it right. And you do have to put a lot of faith in that jury. The jury is a representation of society as a whole.
Right.
So coming up with that number, thinking through that is something I haven't thought too deeply about. But I'll be going through that thought process very soon.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll look forward to talking to you more about that. And finally, yesterday was a little bit lively. You had some conversations about whether getting rid of SNAP benefits to fund soda purchases and, you know, expanding the parental rights bill all the way through higher grade levels and, you know, what is a pronoun? I mean, you had some interesting conversations yesterday on second reading bills that are going to be on third reading again today. Is that right?
We did, yes. So on that expansion of the Parental Rights and Education Act, we had Democrats think that it was an intelligent argument to continue to ask, why isn't pronoun defined in the bill? What is a pronoun? And if you don't know what a pronoun is, we have far bigger issues than you can imagine.
Not to be overly snarky, but I was generally of the impression that pronoun awareness was something that Democrats were better at than Republicans these days. Am I missing something?
Well, yeah, I mean, it really is akin to like the facetiousness of the wordsmithing that they engage in.
I got you.
The same as I don't know the definition of a woman. I'm not a biologist. You know, it's just such a ridiculous premise to say that words have no meaning anymore unless they fit my social view and my world view, my ideology. That if we can't agree on the basic definitions of words, especially words like pronoun or woman, it's very difficult to see where we can find common ground right now.
Yeah, that's well, look, I know they feel frustrated. You know, they're in the super minority, and they feel frustrated, and so maybe they feel like this is the way they can throw up some chaff and, you know, raise objections. And, you know, when there's nothing you can do, maybe desperation starts to look a little bit weird. But lots of stuff that's going to be on the agenda today for third reading, finally for passage, and I'm sure we'll talk about that more next week. Alex Andrade, he is our state representative for District 2. Are you getting sleep yet, newborn baby? Getting sleep?
I'm getting great sleep. We're very lucky. Gilly's, you know, sleeping through the night. My only gripe right now is that I'm not home nearly enough.
Well, then that's, yeah, during session, I'm sure that's extra annoying for both you and your wife. Alex Andrade, as always, thank you for the time, sir. We'll talk to you again next week. We look forward to the conversations on the floor and in committee throughout the process.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys. You